Good morning and welcome to the Garden Conversation. This is Mardell Gunn and I'm here today with another one in my series of One Crop at a Time. And today I'm talking to Lori Mistrella and we're going to talk about winter squash. And let me make sure that everybody understands that we're talking about growing winter squash here in the Upper Lynn Canal, which is probably different than where you were last winter in Tucson.
That's winter squash country.
And
this
you
is a
talked
stretch.
About all of these great stories of winter squash, but here we have to grow them a little differently. And so we're going to talk about that. And it's also really important to recognize that your neighbor may have a different method or have a different experience. And so this is Lori's and my, mostly Lori's experience. I haven't grown winter squash all that much, but I definitely have some experience with it. So, first of all, so how do you define a winter squash in your mind, Lori?
Well, it's not a zucchini.
Right.
It's got a hard rind. It's meant to store for months rather than weeks and at room temperature and not in the fridge. And usually it's a dark orange.
Well, it depends upon the type.
The meat, not
yeah.
necessarily
oh,
the
meat.
Rind.
Yeah.
But the meat is usually like a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
A pumpkin is
mm-hmm.
a winter squash.
Yeah. And supposedly one of the ways that you can tell if the winter squash is ready, I guess, to be harvested and whatnot, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it does have a rind that you can push a fingernail in. Well, you're not supposed to be able to push a fingernail into it, meaning it's a hard surface.
It should be a pretty hard protective mm-hmm. rind when it's finished, when
mm-hmm.
it's mature.
So
some common types that people would be familiar with would be the acorn squash, maybe, mm-hmm. or a butternut.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying that the butternut doesn't necessarily grow all that well here.
It's a long season. I'm sure talk about varieties.
Yeah,
and
a
butternut is all of the winter squash, I think, here are a pretty big ask. It's a stretch to grow them
it's
at this
long
latitude.
Season.
So we have to help them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no pro at it, but I happen to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep trying and I've found a few varieties that seem to tolerate the climate mm-hmm. In this latitude better than others, and that I also think taste good. So
let's start. What are a few that you do think work well here, and then we'll talk about how.
There's one called a red curry, spelled K-U-R-I. There's some other names for that same squash, but it's a dark orange teardrop shaped mm-hmm. squash, and it's done well for many of my friends in different yards and different circumstances. It seems to tolerate our climate pretty well,
mm-hmm.
and I think it tastes really good, and
mm-hmm.
it stores really well. So that's one.
That's an open pollinated.
It's an open pollinated,
right.
And most of these are viners. They want to go for a big walk,
mm-hmm.
and that's a viner. It's going to want to go places.
Mm-hmm. Another one, the only one that I've ever grown is the Small Wonder, and that's a hybrid. And it's a viner, but
it's a spaghetti squash type. Usually really productive for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're small. They're
a little
they're
bit
not,
smaller,
yeah,
right?
They're not
and,
big like a
and
butternut.
And then one of my personal favorites is called a long pie pumpkin. It looks like a gigantic zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's given enough time to mature, it'll turn as orange as a jack-o'-lantern pumpkin, and I think they're delicious.
One of these years, I'm going to have to grow
And
it.
That's an old heirloom,
mm-hmm.
and I've had luck with that in a high tunnel and also outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a pretty hardy winter squash.
So you have grown both in a high tunnel and outside
mm-hmm.
Squash. So let's start at the beginning. How do you start them?
I like to start squash in a wet paper towel inside of a plastic bag until I see the root tip begin to emerge from the seed. And I like doing that because I don't think that squash seed necessarily has the highest germination rate. And I want to know that it's a viable seed before I put
so
it
you're
in
not
the soil
waiting.
And wait for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I chit them. That's called chitting. I chit them. But I plant them into a pretty good larger starting pot as soon as I see that root mm-hmm. tip emerge, and I just do one per pot.
Some people I have actually started a couple per pot if you're going to put them out right away. So that's an important question. How soon before you're going to put them out do you do it?
Once they start growing, they're going to grow really fast. And so, when do I start those?
Couple weeks, 3 weeks?
Maybe 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the mm-hmm. variety. And then also watching pretty closely the pattern of any given spring. Mm-hmm. You know, do we still have 10 feet of snow on the ground, or is it looking like it's going to warm up pretty fast? You know, how's it looking?
And the soil needs to be kind of warm.
Because it's hard to hold them once they get going.
They grow really fast.
And there's nothing wrong with staggering. You know, start a couple mm-hmm, kind of mm-hmm. on a wing and a prayer early.
Right.
And if it's looking like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, still 10 feet of snow on the ground, mm-hmm. then maybe you wait a week or two mm-hmm. weeks and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, you know, they do need to be pre-started, but not too early because they're going to outrun their pot pretty fast.
It's a mistake that I've seen over and over. People eager to get them going, and they start them the same time as they might start a brassica or something. And mm-hmm. that's a big mistake because they grow way, way faster.
Yeah, so, I would say maybe a hair earlier than a zucchini.
Possibly,
are a longer mm-hmm. season crop and they need mm-hmm. a little bit more time to get to maturity, but not mm-hmm. much, mm-hmm. not much,
yeah.
you know, not more than maybe a week or at the most a couple weeks before mm-hmm. you might get your zucchini going.
So then once you put them out, they're fairly easy to grow because you don't have to do a whole lot with them, except they like heat, which is a little bit of a problem here some summers.
They like heat, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so a low tunnel, if you don't have a high tunnel, mm-hmm. you know, protect them somehow. Give them, you know, protect them from wind if you can, too mm-hmm. much rain if you can. You know, give them a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at your garden and figure out, you know, where's my best, sunniest, warmest spot, and you really want to get winter squash, then you might consider that they get your best spot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and you keep them covered for that early
give them all the help you can early mm-hmm. on, and they mm-hmm. get hardier as the season goes on. And mm-hmm. they also are going to start growing and wanting to go places, and eventually you might lose your ability to control them mm-hmm. and keep them mm-hmm. protected.
Right.
Hopefully by then they can take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other factor that is necessary, a consideration in this, is if you are going to they have to get pollinated. Now, you can hand pollinate them, but if you are going to let nature do it, you've got to give the bees and I guess it's mostly bees, is it flies as well? Anyway, the insects, you got to give them access. And so low tunnels are not always so good for that. So just be aware that you need to consider pollination of them because they need to be pollinated.
For sure. But a lot of times the low tunnels need to be opened up to let some heat out mm-hmm. and some moisture out anyway. And one way that you can use a low tunnel with winter squash is to open one side but not the other mm-hmm. and direct them to go where you
direct
don't mind
the vines.
Them going, because mm-hmm. some of them will grow 20, 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have to help them mm-hmm. decide where they're going.
And do you cut off any of those vines or do you just let them go, or how do you do that?
The only time I prune them is late in the season after they've set fruit. If they're still trying to get viney and I can see there's not going to be time for them to make more fruit before we start mm-hmm. running into, you know, fall weather, prune them right after beyond the last fruit that I think is viable, and to just try to direct their energy into making mm-hmm. that one or two good fruits rather than
spending energy
making more vines.
So I do
prune them. I do mm-hmm. prune them. I take mm-hmm. off the, you know, a lot of them are only going to make one or two fruits,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and so I try to get the plant to, you know, put its goods mm-hmm. into that one fruit. Yeah.
And that's exactly the reason why I haven't grown them much, is because I feel like they take a lot of space for what you do get. In that, it's good to know that you're probably only going to get a few fruits out of it, but they're rewarding. So we all make our choices in our gardens.
Well, we should grow what we love to eat.
We grow what we love to eat. That's for sure. So, okay. What else about growing them? Fertilizing?
What's I just try to give them. I don't do anything special there, mm-hmm. but I'm just learning how to do this and always experimenting. And they might love things that I don't know about, but I just try to give them good soil, just like anything else mm-hmm. that I grow. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything special for them in terms of soil nutrition or fertilizer.
They're considered, if you read about them, they're considered a fairly heavy feeder, which I think the reason being is that they put out so much green material. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a lot for the plant to make that mm-hmm. versus a bean plant or something that is way less. So I think a little bit of fertilizer is nice, but I'm the same way. I haven't added a whole lot. It's not a big issue. What about water? What do you do for water, or what's your thoughts on water for them?
I think similar to other stuff I'm growing, they like to be watered at the ground level. I don't think they want to be sprayed from the top. They mm-hmm. I don't think they seem to love having their leaves wet. Mm-hmm. So watering them down at the ground level, mm-hmm. at the base of the plant, I think they can tolerate some neglect there. Mm-hmm. And it's very site specific. If you have a high water table, if you have really wet soil, I don't think you need to water them at all. If you have a dry spot that drains rapidly, then maybe they do want
they
some
do.
Water. And mm-hmm. of course, like, our summers are so variable. The weather's so variable. So
you gotta pay
I don't
attention.
Have a real specific yeah. answer about that.
It does lead me to think about, there's different ways that you can plant winter squash. You can either do the hill method, which is planting, I don't know, 3-4 seeds in one hill as such, or you can plant them individually. And so a hill makes you think that it's going to be mounded up, and that may or may not be a good situation for watering. So those are decisions that you have to make as you plant your squash.
I think because they are going to need a certain amount of nutrition, I'm not a big fan of clustering a whole bunch of plants together. Mm-hmm. I think they need to be able to forage for what they need in terms of nutrients. Mm-hmm. And I like to give them the advantage of being able to hog what's right near them and mm-hmm. not have to compete mm-hmm. with other plants mm-hmm. right next to mm-hmm. them.
So doing a more it,
yeah, I spread them out, but mm-hmm. I know people hill squash mm-hmm. hill squash or mound squash and plant
yeah, it's
3-4
a traditional
seeds. It is a traditional
way
but,
of doing
but
it.
But where did that tradition arise? I don't think
Good
it.
Question.
I don't think that it started in Southeast Alaska.
No. Where I grew up in Minnesota, my mom would always plant like 3 or 4 squash, and these squash vines would. She had an acre garden, and they would cover almost the whole acre. It was amazing what these squash did. She grew acorn squash, and I think it's one of the reasons I don't grow much squash now, because I'm not a big fan of acorn squash.
I think many are more delicious
yes,
than an acorn.
I
think maybe people who have only had acorn squash don't think that they like winter squash, but maybe they haven't
exactly.
had a delicata.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what changed me. I didn't yeah. think that I liked winter squash until I had delicata. And then
well,
I went,
a delicata is an especially delicious
They're
one,
very
but
sweet.
I think they also are a little less tolerant of our climate. We've had
You're right.
Good luck with them in the high tunnel, but I've never had success with the delicata outside.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have had success with them in the tunnel, though?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Sweet. Okay, yeah. That's something to aspire to. So
it's wonderful sight mm-hmm, to see mm-hmm. delicata squash setting fruit.
And they are more of a bush type.
Delicata is available as a bush or as a vine.
Oh, is it? Okay. Mm. All right.
And so that's something when you're looking at seed catalogs and thinking about your space, if you want to try to grow a delicata, that's a consideration. Mm-hmm. And a good seed catalog will differentiate. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a bush okay. type or a vine type.
So what about trellising? I know that is an option, and some people here do trellis their winter squash. You let yours grow on the ground for the most part.
I've never trellised them, mm-hmm. but I know you have.
I have. I've done some of that. The one thing that if you grow big squash, you have to give them a cradle, because otherwise they will fall off. And so you have to give them a cradle to support the big squash. But it's a way of doing vertical gardening instead of, you know, having them grow on the vine or grow on the ground. Mm-hmm. And a consideration of that is, have you had any problem with them rotting because they're on the ground?
Only on a really wet year, and usually I'll stick a big leaf or a board under them if I see that starting to happen. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes the slugs will want to take up residence under them and maybe even start munching on them a little bit. So I watch them that way. I'll mm-hmm. roll them over and make sure that they're not supporting a slug population.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's amazing how fast time goes. We've only got a couple seconds left.
Oh,
but so
yeah, there's so much to say.
There is a lot to talk about, but one thing I would like to cover is, what about harvesting them? You don't want to pull the stem off, right?
I don't think so. I've never felt compelled to do that.
Okay.
I think they keep the longest if they have intact skin and an intact stem.
And then you bring them in the house and you put them in a dry...
I bring them in and put them at room temperature and just let them sit there until I'm done harvesting everything else. And that is the best thing about them. They don't ask for anything right when you're the busiest with all your other harvests. You can
just stick
them on a shelf and deal with them later and sometimes months later. And
they usually get better and more nutrition is what I've read. So,
and then they're a joy to cook with.
Okay.
There's so many
things
you can
do. Well, we are over our time. Joni is going to kick us off the radio. So thank you, Lori, for coming and sharing your knowledge and experience in winter squash. Happy gardening, everyone.